Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Never miss a minute.
Download the Todd and Tyler podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify.
And stream the show 24/7 at TNTRadioEmpire.com.
A lot of people checking in saying sleeping's a hobby. I wish it was, because we'd kick ass on that one. You know, I don't know, we get a lot of sleep, but we hobby would be something you do in your off hours, and that would, I guess that's what we do. We nap. That's a hobby, right. I guess.
I just figured a hobby to be something where you could, like, have a convention or you would go to or something.
That's sleeping, what I'm thinking.
You'd show up,
yeah,
and, like, everybody's just napping. Like,
yeah, convention, building a birdhouse, and you're well, that kind of stuff, right? I think people are afraid to admit their hobbies to us because we're less than kind. Nick is too.
You have a whole store that's called Making Fun of Your Hobby Lobby.
Yeah,
so
yeah. It's going well, too, by the way. Franchises are available.
And traveling wouldn't be considered a hobby.
No, I don't really think it is. I don't know what the definition of hobby means.
I'd throw that one into a hobby, yeah. Depending on your it depends on your situation.
Right.
If you like to do it and you save up money and do it, yeah, and it's one of those things. Whether you do it on a weekend, well, I'm going to go see this weekend, or I'm going to go see this week.
Right.
I would give that a hobby.
Yeah.
But just going to see grandma.
Landing strip. Yeah. Grandma's going to see Grandma's landing strip.
Well, that would be a hobby, but just
and
going to see Grandma.
As hell, too, by the way.
Where are you flying into? Oh, you know.
Yeah, Grandma's landing strip. You know what I'm talking about.
Wikipedia actually has a whole page that's lists of hobbies, like broken down by category, general hobbies, outdoors and sports. So they have a list.
They list pretty much everything as a hobby then, right?
Probably. All right. It's pretty extensive, yeah.
Playing sports. Artistic pursuits.
All right.
Other amusements.
Telling dick jokes in the radio, basically a hobby. This one just pays.
Everybody else seems to think we're just effing around.
Yeah, that's true. They do. They do. They do.
I would love to work at the Make Fun of Your Hobby store.
Yeah. I knew you would, Dick.
Somebody
You're
comes in, they're like, yeah, woodworking. I'm like, oh, real nice, that's douche.
That's what it is. Yeah. Nick's right.
Would you make an end table?
Nick and I in bond. I'll even give you a franchise.
Perfect. Thanks. Yeah. I'm going to open it right by my house.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole category on here called observation hobbies.
Is that watching birds?
Yeah. Bird watching, whale watching, photography. So basically really just sitting there.
I'm guessing TV watching isn't in there.
I don't see it, no. Amateur astronomy, meteorology. Todd, these seem to be yours.
Yeah, there's no math in amateur astrology, is there? I mean, astronomy.
Yeah, but I don't really pursue it.
No.
Meditation.
Walking backwards. Retro walking, as Todd likes to call it.
See, I that's just my workout.
Is masturbation on there?
Yeah. Okay, well, we got that covered.
People watching? Are you kidding me?
Well, we all say we are, but that's just because if you're just sitting there somewhere and you're looking at people.
Hiking.
Yeah, I'll give them that.
Yeah, that people picked up a lot during the pandemic.
Yeah.
People watching is really just judging.
Yeah,
it is.
It should be called people judging. Yeah. Exactly right.
Train spotting.
You're people watching. You're like, oh, they look. I bet they look like they're nice people.
Yeah.
What's with that guy?
Yeah. They list walking as a hobby here.
I do that, but I don't like to call that a hobby. That's just to keep my ass moving.
Fishing, noodling. Maybe I'll take up noodling next pandemic.
Yeah, that'd be great. Get your arm ripped off.
Have you ever heard of gongoozling?
No.
A person who enjoys watching activity on the canals of the United Kingdom.
Oh, Jesus. That's some puss. Wow. Really. Craig might know.
Also, okay, more generally to describe anybody who harbor an interest in canals and canal life.
That's pretty wow. niche.
Yeah.
Canal and canal life.
They're fun at parties.
Yeah.
Does Venice count?
They were digging the Suez Canal getting all
No, because Craig, it does specify here, to be a gongoozler, you have to have an interest in canals and canal life, but you cannot actively participate. So once you get on the canal, you're no longer a gongoozler.
Sure it's not pronounced gong guzzler. I know what that is.
I think that's different.
Okay.
A dong guzzler.
That's a good hobby to have.
Yeah, you could go real far down the rabbit hole
on
this.
Yeah, that's what it sounds
like. I'm surprised they have an actual page that here we're going to define hobbies because it could be damn near anything.
Ping pong is considered a hobby.
See, I understand that.
Sport in some situations.
You know what? You're right. I guess all those things are a hobby technically, but we always laugh. When I think of hobbies, or what you think of hobbies, stamp collecting, coin collecting, woodworking, the nerdy stuff we always talk about on the show. And obviously,
club sport.
Obviously, it encompasses other stuff,
I like that. Yeah. Ping pong is not.
You're not varsity, you're a club
sport. It's a club sport. La-ti-da.
Yeah.
We're celebrating Dog Appreciation Month, so
appreciate
your dog.
There you go.
Last night. Which of the statements below describe your marijuana consumption?
A lot.
Give him a chance.
Those two couldn't even wait for the choices.
I know.
15% of us say we use the marijuana recreationally.
Yep.
12% say that we use it for medical purposes. Yep. And I would say that, you can do both.
That's the same,
20% say they used to smoke the weed, but they don't anymore. 5% of us don't know how we describe our marijuana consumption.
Those people use the most.
Yeah, I just heard we were talking about Mitch Hedberg off the air. Nick and I were. I heard a Mitch Hedberg joke yesterday just in the car. He goes, "I used to do drugs." People started cheering. He goes, "I still do drugs, but I used to also." I love that. That's a great line.
That should have been an option on this.
And that was such a great line. I used to do drugs, and the crowd crabs. So I still do drugs. But I used to also.
So 5% of us don't know about how we describe our marijuana consumption. 5% of us prefer not to say how we describe our marijuana consumption. And 48% of us say they've never consumed the marijuana. About half of us.
That sounds about right.
They never listened to Dylan. Then
that sounds too. It is hot. I think that's probably right, but also it seems high.
Or not high.
There you go.
Yeah. Ah.
I mean, Bob Dylan said everybody must get stoned.
Right.
All these people didn't listen.
Does that include all ages, though? Because that's why, if it does, it's probably adults.
Probably,
right?
Yeah. Because a lot of the older people have not.
Yeah, well, a lot of the older people have now. Because older people, if you're a senior in high school in the mid-60s, you're old now. You gotta remember that.
I guess they would be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're not talking about people that were old in the 40s because they're dead now.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to see Dusty Slay last night. He reminded me of Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah, you told me.
Well, you could tell he was an inspiration, but it's more of like a southern fried,
southern fried Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah, short choice. He's really funny.
Funny bone all weekend, right?
Sunday night. Yeah.
The Pentagon has confirmed that an 18-second video of three pyramid-shaped UFOs hovering over the USS Russell in July of 2019...
What's the audio sound like, Todd?
...is authentic.
There you go.
That's authentic.
They reportedly harassed at least...
What's that look like, Nick? Because Todd has to go by the microphone. That means he's got to go by the camera, too, right?
I love the prep, because the prep, you can tell he's getting his mouth ready, but the head's moving over at the same time.
So what are we talking about?
The whole spectrum.
So you see his lips flying at you right across the screen, right?
I got to do that for the Doppler effect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, man, this is the end of us.
the three pyramid-shaped UFOs.
And it's going to suck, man.
Reportedly harassed at least three warships during military drills over multiple days 2 years ago. At one point, the UFOs matched the speed and bearing of one destroyer for 90 minutes off the coast of San Diego, according to the ship's logs. The green-tinged video, which is now public, reportedly was gathered by the Pentagon's Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force and leaked to filmmaker Jeremy Corbell.
Did you know the story, or was it something I read that any number of scientists says we shouldn't engage?
I like the idea we shouldn't either. I don't get why we do.
Because we're horribly ill-prepared for them to be way more technically advanced.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, right, we are.
Like, if they're hostile, we're screwed.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if they can get here, they can do things that we can't.
Yep,
right.
Because we can't get anywhere.
No. No, we can't.
Not like that.
And they're thinking, oh, you're so cute. You put a little drone on Mars.
Yes.
Right. Like, now you die.
You're cute.
And it took you years to get it there.
We're based on Uranus. We got you.
Now, this filmmaker also says he's in possession of three photos from a Navy ship that would show, or that show, a spherical UFO descending into the sea and disappearing without a trace.
Whoa.
Man. Are they just preparing to take over?
Maybe.
You know, if some movie thing happens in real life, you know, like where they, you know, War of the Worlds, perfect example, they go, they're in the ground, they start showing up later and attack, you know, that. Just how horrible would that be? I mean, it's not, I know that we watch movies, we go, oh, it's escapism. Nah.
And I, for one, welcome our new alien overlords.
Yeah, we're just going to die.
Yeah, probably.
We're just going to die in horrible ways.
That's one of those situations where you probably just don't want to survive that.
No, not the first round. Right, right.
Yeah, like everybody wants to say they would survive the zombie apocalypse. No, afterwards, not going to be any fun.
Well, because in the movies, we eventually come back and beat them somehow. I mean, Tom Cruise wins in War of the Worlds. Of course, Independence Day, we actually win. We find out Jeff Goldblum figures it out. But, you know, those guys.
Mars Attacks.
Yeah, Mars Attack.
Don't we basically have to restart civilization at that point?
Probably.
If we're alive.
Yeah. Depending on how bad the destruction is.
Yeah, because in most of those movies, the Earth is pretty badly destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's wreckage of giant spaceships everywhere.
Right.
Yeah, what a mess.
And they'd be reporting on it, and people would say, oh, I don't believe it.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You sheep.
They're just trying to sheep. They're just trying to scare us.
Every time you do these stories, though, Craig, I know that they are people out there studying this stuff, but it doesn't seem that they ever tell us more.
If they knew more.
Well, I mean, they don't even tell
us. Well, okay, but the Pentagon's.
Don't you think there's smarter people with a hypothesis that would at least make more sense than what we just say?
The Pentagon's.
I'm quoting Tom Cruise and Jeff Goldblum over here. I don't know Dick.
The Pentagon's Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force was formed in 2020 to improve the U.S.'s understanding of and gain insight into the nature and origins of UAPs. Particularly those incursions by unauthorized aircraft into our training ranges or designated airspace.
What are the findings? I've not learned anything.
Right.
I'm sorry?
I haven't learned anything from what have they found?
Right.
What can they tell us?
Well, they probably can't tell you a whole lot.
But why not?
They're not releasing
the point is
everything.
That they're looking into it and they're showing us publicly stuff that they're looking into that they don't know. You know how you start off with things you don't know and then you learn little things here and there? That's what they're doing, learning things.
I still think they should tell us more.
That's how it works.
Tell us what you're learning.
Exactly.
Well, they're showing the pictures, and they're saying, there you go. Now, Mr. Corbell explained that they are gravitationally propelled craft that can go from space to air to sea without destruction.
Do they have an educated guess? Because I'm tired of saying the word hypothesis. Do they have an educated guess of what it might be? And would they tell us if they knew, if they had an educated guess?
Would they tell us?
Yeah.
I can't answer that.
I know. I'm just saying that's what makes me so mad about these stories.
Former intelligence director John Ratcliffe told Fox News that they're talking about objects that have been seen by Navy and Air Force pilots or have been picked up by satellite imagery that engage in actions that are difficult to explain, movements that are hard to replicate, that we don't have the technology for, or traveling at speeds that exceed the sound barrier without a sonic boom.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
See, this is why they'll never tell us when they find, you know, when they reach solid conclusions, because mass hysteria will, you know.
And they also say that generally we're getting more of what appear to be legitimate sightings of actual UFOs than was the case even a few years ago. So there's that to go along with gaining new information as well.
Yeah.
And is the technology so advanced that it can't be like Russia or China?
Yeah, you keep thinking that, Nick.
Right.
That's what they're saying.
But if they're that far in, you know, like us living here, if those countries are that far advanced, we're screwed anyway.
Yeah.
But you would think if those countries were that far advanced, they would have just attacked by now.
Yeah, they would have moved in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got our government giving Russia secrets anyway, so they don't need, you know.
Yeah.
Our last government, I should say. We're loaded.
I like to see what these ships actually look like. I saw that video that was just, you know, it's a blur.
Is that what you're looking at? Oh, I haven't looked at the video yet. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to have a sticker on the outside that has, like, the name of their planet.
No, you're right. Or check out their tags, see if they're, you know.
Right.
Oh, there's not a bumper sticker that says, go pack, go, or something like that.
Oh, if they're cool, there is.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. There's no identifying marks like you'd put on an airplane.
Yeah.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Mother says she was trying to honor her son's artwork. She got a tattoo of the kid's artwork. And it turned out to be another kid's artwork.
Whoops.
Oh, nice.
Oh, like it brought...
Woman said on TikTok, her most meaningless tattoo is the one she originally thought her son drew the design for. It's of a ghost standing next to a palm tree. The woman had that tattooed on her inner arm. After she got it, her son said, "No, that was Billy that drew that."
I watched just a quick video of these all these tattoo artists talk about the tattoos they hate to do because they're just so tired of them. And they're all the cliche tattoos. And if you watch the video, you don't ever get a tattoo because whatever you get is going to be some sort of cliche that all these guys hate doing.
It's not original.
I mean, every one of them says they hate doing roses. They hate doing this. It's almost a hardcore thing. I'm thinking, and I started getting mad at the tattoo guys when I watched the video. I'm thinking, well, you guys just don't want to do anything then. I mean, so what? If you're bored with it, somebody might want that.
Do your job.
Know? Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, they think they're going to paint a masterpiece.
Well, they just get tired of doing the same thing all the time, you know, skull.
Well, that's called having a job.
That's it. And when you watch it, it's interesting to begin with, and then it becomes like whiners. I'm thinking, you're lucky people are getting tattoos all the time, and they are. I mean, people love tattoos.
You chose to do that. I mean, you knew that.
You're right.
But you know, artists are like that though.
I know.
True.
I mean, we're dealing with artists here.
Now, they don't tell the people that when they show up. Hey, I want a rose here. They go, oh, Jesus.
That's dumb.
They don't go, another rose again, you know. But I can't remember where I saw it. I might even saw it on TV.
Like, great, another Kiss Army shield.
Could do this in my sleep.
There's
you could be an artist or you can make money.
Well, a lot of them do both, obviously, sure. But you're right. I mean, it seemed like whiners at the time, you know.
Not everybody's coming in and getting like an original piece.
No, you're right.
Yeah, but and I would imagine if you like I remember a few years ago there was like a big tattoo convention in town,
right,
and a bunch of nationally known tattoo artists came in, And people would you know, plan their whole thing, wait in line to get these guys. I would imagine if you're going to that extent to get those guys, they probably are doing more cool, original stuff.
If you let them do that, but a lot of people know what they want.
True.
You know, they know what they want. You know,
but if guys like that are in demand, they can probably make a bunch of money. We're not going to do that. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they were making big-time bucks.
No, you're not having that dude do the exit-only tramp stamp?
Probably not.
Yeah. No swastikas. You know, I'm not going to do that one either. Yeah.
Well, the latest hot chick trend I see is, you know, they get something written on their, like their rib cage.
So, my son just got another one, and my daughter got another one, too. And they were tasteful. I like my daughter's is really nice. But tattoo. That sounds horrible. But she said, my wife was telling me they were there, and this skinny kid came in. Skinny young kid, 17, 18, with his parents. I think if you're under 18, you got your parents have to sign off of it. And the kid wanted something on his rib cage. And the place said, no, first of all, you're too young. And second of all, the reason they don't do rib cages on young people, not just, I think, well, because I just assume, oh, because they're all going to get fat anyway. Yeah. So you don't want to get down your rib cage.
That ain't going
to
hold,
right,
man.
Right, because a lot of waitresses in certain places have that rib cage tattoo. Apparently, that's the most painful place anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
sure.
Anywhere.
Bone and skin right there.
Yeah. And yeah, especially if you're skinny, you know.
Yeah.
There's no fat there at all.
There's no padding there whatsoever.
I assume, my original thought was, you're not putting on skinny 17-year-olds because they become fat 25-year-olds, you know.
Right. 400 cheeseburgers later.
The guys I know that have a bunch have always said, like elbows.
Yes.
Ankle bones, places like that. Like where the bone is right underneath the skin is just painful as hell.
I'm lucky I didn't get a tattoo at that age. I was wearing a t-shirt at that time that said, Limp Bizkit is better than everyone. It's not a time to make permanent decisions about stuff on your body.
No, you're right. Not when it comes to bands. My son got one for my dad, and my daughter got one for my dad, too. That'll stick with them for life, so I have no problem with that. But you're right, Doug. You're putting a Limp Bizkit on your...
Need a Fred Durst tattoo.
If you put a Fred Durst tattoo on your ankle at 16. And I'm not even hammering Fred Durst so much. It's just the fact that remember what this is going to be like.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah.
Things change.
Yeah. Things do change. Come on back.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler, and our podcasts now are easier than ever to find.
Just download the iHeartRadio app and search Todd and Tyler.